Hello and welcome to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. And today we are going to be having the Minister of Peace, Honorable Stephen Palkwol, here in our studio. And please do note that this is a recorded program. We shall not be picking your phone calls. Thank you so much, Honorable, for accepting to talk to Radio Mirror, and welcome to Nationwide program.
Thank you for having me again on your show. It is my pleasure to be here.
Okay, now let's begin with you updating us on the status of your ministry. Ever since it was established, people don't know what's going on. Give us an update on your ministry.
Well, the Ministry of Peace Building in the Artigono is a new ministry. It is one of the ministries created by the RRKIS, by the agreement. And we have embarked on establishing the ministry since February 2020. And we have made a lot of progress so far, despite the fact that the Council of Ministers has not been meeting regularly for some of our programs to go through. But we managed to get our ministry established structurally, institutionally, by the Council of Ministers. So by Council of Ministers resolutions, the ministry has been established since 2020. The establishment budget was passed. Structurally, when we talk of structural establishment, it means approval of the structure by the ministry itself, and by the Council of Ministers, by Council of Ministers resolution. So that has happened. So far, we have appointed the Undersecretary and the four Director Generals. Now, we have just received our Human Resources Establishment Officer transferred to us from the Ministry of Public Service. We have started working with him to scrutinize our applicants who have applied so far. We have so many CVs. We are filling the position of directors, deputy directors, and program officers and with the help of the public service.
Yeah.
Very soon we will take those to the Council of Ministers also for approval.
So this is going to be an employment opportunity for many South Sudanese, right?
Oh yes. It is a new institution. Now we have four Director Generals and Undersecretary. Then, you know, the Director General would be deputized by directors according to our institutional setup and structures. We will have deputy directors, and you know, we have four directorates. So it is a huge institution so many employment opportunities.
Will this be made available, the vacancies? Will they be advertised in a procedural manner?
We are, you know, working by the books. We advertise. There is also a recruitment board by the Ministry of Public Service that take them through interviews, take the applicant through interviews. And the first thing I did was to request the human resources experts from the Ministry of Peace Building, I mean from the Ministry of Public Service. He is now stationed in the Ministry of Peace Building. The other progress we have made is that we have secured a building now. We were Ministry of Peace Building without building, but now we are building in Tongping. And we are getting a lot of support from the UNDP, you know, to put together, you know, furniture, the wiring system in the ministry building. And the ministry is up and running.
Okay. When do we intend to see this adverts being put outside there, people coming to be interviewed or shortlisted, and the actual work beginning?
We are waiting now for our operating costs to come through. We have been told that the salary will be paid first and we will get our operating costs. Once we get it, we will put the advertisement out there, and everybody will read the ads from the newspapers.
Okay. Now, to what extent do you think these new recruits from your ministry will add to the implementation of this peace process, because we assume that your ministry is directly involved in implementing and following up the implementation of this revitalized peace
agreement? Oh yes, you know, we are doing this very carefully. We want to bring on board most competent civil servant we have in this country. People with background in the field and academic qualifications, especially in the in the program areas like peace dissemination, you know, peace building and reconciliation program. We will get program officers who are experienced and academically qualified, and that has a lot to do with the implementation of peace agreement, because dissemination of the peace agreement is part of the implementation of peace agreement. Reconciliation meetings in the communities, intra-communal violence issues, things like that, you know, psychosocial support for our traumatized communities. Those are within the Ministry of Peace Building. And you need qualified cadres, you know, to do those activities, you know.
Okay. Now, Honorable, let's move to a very serious matter where every South Sudanese would like to hear from you this evening. First of all, could you give us an update on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement of 2018? Where are we right now?
Well, we are in the two chapters. Chapter one, the governance. The content of the governance include the responsibility sharing, to be politically correct. It is power sharing in real terms. We have made progress along this direction so far. We have not reached the end of the roads. We should have a state government fully established with their, you know, legislative assemblies, state legislative assemblies, and the national legislature with its two houses, the National Assembly and the Council of State, and also the constituted judiciary according to the agreement. The three branches of the government should be standing, you know, on their feet here in Juba. The executive has been established. We also need to establish commissions created by the agreement. So the order of business is tall, but we must do them. And I think we have made very little progress in a very slow way.
People are asking, and even there are already calls from the civil society, that the delay in reconstituting the TNLA at the national and the state level is really impacting the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement, and also accountability, because the executive are operating without the legislature. What is delaying the reconstitution of the TNLA here in Juba, and also the state, the Council of States, plus the state assemblies?
The same thing, the negotiations, negotiating the sharing, the power sharing, the responsibility sharing has taken too long. And it is not only that. By the way, it takes negotiation again and political arrangement within the political parties that have signed the agreements. So allocations or position within each party has also taken time. We will get there, but I agree with the civil society. We need a full government with all its three branches at all level, from the national government here in Juba all the way to the states and the counties. This must be put in place quickly. The parties need to move. We have wasted a lot of time so far. We had vacuums in the state for quite some time now. And this state need government in place for their security, for delivery of services, and so on and so forth.
Okay, now when you talk about the issue is the responsibility sharing, like power sharing within, we have five parties that signed the agreement, and are you trying to explain to our listeners that five of these political parties have not agreed on who should go to the National Assembly? Well, because the mathematics is very clear.
Well, it is clear, but it is not as easy as you think. Here is what happened. First of all, you negotiate the ratios. After negotiating the ratios, each party goes to its members and its leadership to again arrange the responsibility sharing internally. Who take which position, which constituency. These are things that are taken care easily by elections. But in this case, it is a consultative process where each party consults itself, you know, alone, without other parties. It is one thing getting your chair from the national distribution of power, but the internally, the internal processes also take time.
Now, let us talk about the division within SPLM-IO to the National Assembly. You are supposed to get HESPAD agreement. You have an allocation of 128 members who are supposed to go to the National Assembly here in Juba. Are you done with the arrangement, the selection process, or you still have some negotiation to be done?
Now, the SPLM-SPLA-IO has been ahead of all the parties. We finished our processes a long time ago. Whatever we do now, these are nitty-gritty of things, a small thing here and there. But the SPLM-IO has been more than ready. Not now, 6 months ago. Mm.
So have we given the names to the National Constitution Amendment Committee?
We have
Committee?
Submitted them.
All the 128?
Yes.
What about for the state level? The
all
Council
of those,
of States?
All of those.
So has the Minister of Peace, I don't want you to speak for other parties, but I'm sure you should have an idea of what is going on because you are supposed to also to be briefed. Where is the sticking point now? Where? Or in the reconstitution of the parliament?
I don't see it. There should be no sticking point. If the parties, I have told you what the SPLM-IO has done. I don't know what other parties are doing. If there are sticking points, those are with other parties. But the needful is the government structures must be complete now for us to embark on the business of implementation of peace agreement.
And Honorable, to what extent do you think the delay in the reconstitution of the TNLA and also the Council of State is impacting on the implementation of the smooth peace process?
Yeah, you know, one thing I have learned late because I'm not part of the committees that is negotiating these things was that we had an additional, numbers that were added on the existing state assemblies. And I think that has affected the reconstitution.
By all the parties?
Yes, by all the parties. That was an agreement. Mm. It was not a problem. It was agreed that we will add some numbers to the number of MPs, you know, the 48 MPs that we had per the election of 2010. That has also delayed the arrangement because people had to go back because it has also affected the reconstitution of the Council of State structures. Mm-hmm. You know, the Council of the Council of States represent the state. You know, whatever the size of the national assemblies in the states affects how many people you will have in the Council of State House.
Do we see any reconstitution of the TNLA as soon as possible?
It must be done as soon as possible, and I believe the parties are working on it. It must come through, because for how long can an executive work without check and balance with the legislature? An executive without judiciary and legislature is not a complete government. The government must stand on three pillars.
Okay. Now, one of the concerns, again, many citizens are asking, and even including some analysts, is that the country is operating without a budget right now. You need budget to operate in the, in your ministry. Everybody need budget for a smooth running of the government business. Now the process can't go ahead without TNLA. Does it worry you as a Minister of Peace?
Oh yes, it should not only worry a minister, it should worry everybody. You know, budget is a law, and it can be made only by legislative institutions, such as National Legislative Assembly. That is why you prepare it at the executive level. You take it to the legislature. The legislature legislates it into the law, and the President of the Republic, who is the chief executive officer of the national government, assent it into law. So budget is a law. It is, you cannot just spend money arbitrarily. It must be passed. It is worrisome. We must have legislative institutions in place at all levels. From the county, we are supposed to have county legislative council. At the state level, you have a state legislative assembly. At the national level here, you have our bicameral legislature, the national legislature, the states, the Council of State and the National Legislative Assembly. All this must be in place, plus a reconstitution of independent judiciary, per the stipulation of RRKIS. This must be in place for us to have a complete government.
Mm-hmm. Just to refresh the memory of our listeners, what is being implemented right now in the agreement?
Well, the power or the responsibility sharing is being implemented. Now we have governors, we have a state government really. The executives of the states have been established. There are institutions, the executive institution created by the agreements, you know, like truth and reconciliations, you know, repatriation, reconstruction commissions, physicals, management commission, thing like that, you know, the financial management institution. Those institutions established by the agreement, we have not established them yet. That is not the progress. But the progress is that now we have governors, we have government of the state, we also have a state commission in place now. Mm. Now, we have the states, we have a national executive established. That is progress to me. But as we already mentioned, it is a setback that we don't have the legislative and judicial structures.
And what do you think the parties, including your party, can do to fast track the implementation of this peace process?
That is the word that you have just said. They should fast track it. That's what they should do. The parties should do it.
Yes, still with the peace process, we were supposed to have already passed out the necessary unified forces a long time ago. The last time we traveled together with you to Rajav Police Training Center with the African Union delegation, and you heard the complaint from them. Could you give us an update? What do you know about the graduation process now? When are these forces going to graduate?
Well, as you might have heard, now the parties are now negotiating the unification of command. The command structures of all these parties with their own armies, with their own police, their national security, their armies, must be unified. For you to unify the forces, you must have a unified command. The unified command, also takes another negotiations. Now our technical committee, the security mechanism committees are now meeting to negotiate as which party also take what in the structure. It is also another negotiation.
So everything involves negotiation here.
Of course, and that these are the things we did not really bother to negotiate as people
during the negotiation. Yeah,
these are things that we should have done in Khartoum. But during the negotiation in Addis, in Khartoum, we were told, these are things you will go and finish later.
At home, yeah.
But the agreement, if you read the RRKIS, RRKIS has a lot of generalities, just like constitutions. You know, when you draft a constitution is always full of generalities, and that is why in the language of law you will say it according to this constitution and the law, because you need a law, you know, as a substantial law to enforce some of the provision of the agreements.
And this process of unifying the high command was supposed to have been done within 7 days, according to the letter we saw almost 3 weeks ago. What's happening?
Well, it is this process that I have just told you about. Mm-hmm. People are negotiating. People are looking at the technical structures of the security sector. Because, you know, the agreement stipulates that we should have a new security sector. You know, the process of unification of forces should produce a unified national, non-partisan, professional security sector. And that include the army, the organized forces, the national security, and so on and so forth.
And as you keep negotiating here in Juba, the thousands of forces who are stationed in different training sites across the country are suffering. No food, no medical, no shelter. It's almost raining in some parts of the country. For how long should they keep waiting?
That is a real challenge. The transitional security arrangement should have been completed before even the formation of the government, according to the agreement. For us who negotiated this agreement, we know that we negotiated the responsibility sharing first. We negotiated the security arrangement last. But the order of business was that the security arrangement is a free transitional task that should have been completed before the formation of the government at all levels. Unfortunately, we failed to do that. And because of lack of resources, induced by all the crises that we have gone through this year, COVID-19, financial crisis in the world, and particularly the economic crisis we are going through in South Sudan, that has delayed everything. The issue of shelter, food, and medicine for our troops in the training camps and also in the cantonment site is a challenge we are now facing as NTC. And it is a national crisis by itself, because failure to unify the forces as quickly as possible can delay the capacity building, the security capacity building will come through the unification of forces. Now you have intercommunal violence in the countryside, and that is because the issue of security has not been settled. The only way to settle it is unification of forces. Once we have a unified force, we will have one commander-in-chief. Today, the armed group, the leaders of armed group, the principals to this agreement, SAWA, as a coalition, the SPLM-IO, the government, everybody commands its own troops. That is dangerous, for ceasefire to hold this long again. We really appreciate the commitment of our people to the peace process. The bulk of our opposition forces are in the cantonment, not in the training centers. I hope very soon we will manage to unify the command. We will graduate the forces, we will deploy them together, and we will bring another batch in for training, joint training.
And Honorable, do you think this kind of statement can appease the hundreds of forces who are waiting patiently in the training side when they listen to you talking like this? Because their hope are fading, really. These are the same words they keep hearing day in and day out.
Let me tell you this. Hope should not fade. There is no other option except this process. No matter how long it takes, our people must be patient and must be committed to this process of unifying the forces, keep the ceasefire, the permanent ceasefire holding. Now we are negotiating with all our groups. We also want them to absorb the ceasefire. And all of us must work together from here in Juba all the way down to all the bushes of South Sudan to make sure that the people of South Sudan do not go back to war.
Now, one of the major tasks which lies on your desk is the dissemination of the peace process. Before the partial lockdown was announced months ago, there was an announcement that the government delegation was supposed to be visiting some parts of the country, disseminating the peace process. Now that the partial lockdown have been lifted, are we going to see your ministry together with the partners embarking on a very serious dissemination of the peace process to the masses?
Yes, we have a plan in place. We have even drafted the budget. We will take it to the Council of Ministers for approval. Once resources are available for this dissemination of peace, we will form joint delegation. All the parties must move together to the countryside, and we'll start it here in Juba. In fact, the obstacle were these two problems, the problem of resources and the COVID-19 lockdown. Now that the lockdown is lifted, we will look for resources, and we must go to our people and tell them that peace has come.
So what is this plan you have drafted in your ministry, which if you get the money, you are going to embark on?
We have a plan targeting some areas of populations, IDP camps, our people in the states, refugee camp in the countryside, and the urban population.
It's like an outreach program.
It's an outreach program. We will be doing this with so many partners, you know, our CBOs, the community-based organization, our international and national NGOs, our partners, and the parties that signed the agreement, plus the stakeholders, you know, and civil society organization. It will be a concerted effort that we will do together. So it is a huge operation that needs a lot of resources. But I hope the national government will contribute whatever it can contribute. And our partners will also come along with whatever they have.
So when do you think this initiative will begin?
Well, it has already started. We have taken the initiatives, only that we have not launched it. You know, it will be launched practically when the resources are available in our hands.
Honorable Minister, does it worry you as the Minister of Peace about this subnational intercommunal conflict that has claimed, or which is claiming, many lives in the country? Just for example, in Lake State, over the weekend, 22 people lost their lives in intercommunal fight, and you are here trying to initiate this kind of reconciliation, disseminating the peace process, and you were in Jonglei, in Pieri, Jonglei State, last month. We also understand that this age group used fought last week, and dozens of people were killed. Does it worry you?
Oh yes, it must. It must worry us. It worries me as a citizen of this country.
And what impact is it having on the peace process?
Also, as a political leader of this country and as a minister, it should concern all of us. Our people should not continue killing each other the way we have seen it here.
Does it impact the peace process?
Of course. You cannot have peace when the communities, you know, South Sudan is not Juba. South Sudan is not even the states like, let's say, Bor or Yambio. South Sudan is out there. When we talk of South Sudan, we are actually talking about these communities that are killing each other now. This must be stopped. And that is why unification of forces. For us to have a powerful law enforcement system, because most of the things that are happening there are caused by the vacuum, you know, the anarchy, the lawlessness that has prevailed now for a very long time during wartime. Our communities are armed to the teeth against themselves, and you have a nation that is armed against itself. This must be resolved. You cannot have a meaningful peace without resolution of those intra-communal violence. There are a lot of approaches. We are drafting now the policy, you know, the peace-building policy of South Sudan. And it will come out soon. I will take it to the Council of Ministers for passage. Once it is out, it will be the policy that we will adopt. And then we will implement. Part of that policy, in the contents of it, is that the transitional period of ARCIS must be used for the people of South Sudan to dialogues. As a government, we must dialogue with our people. We must also facilitate dialogue among themselves. This needs a lot of resources, of course, and it needs an environment with the government in place, and that is why we need to move quickly to establish the county government, so that we establish our traditional authority system that has broken down during this turmoil in the country.
Okay, and if you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and my guest this evening is the Minister of Peace, Honorable Stephen Palkwal. And unfortunately, that we shall not be picking your calls, as this is a recorded program. Yes, Honorable Minister, let me take you back. One of the major concerns people have raised in this country is that, and people seem to be a little bit disappointed with the national government here in Juba. Once people are killed in the countryside, I will give you three examples. Over the weekend, 22 people were killed in Lake State during intercommunal conflict. 2 weeks ago, over 20 people were killed in Mayom County of Unity State. In Warab State, people were killed. In Jonglei State, people were killed. But not even a single minister or article in Juba here issuing a statement condemning that act. What is the problem?
Well, I think it is condemnation does not solve problem. It should not be just a minister here. We have governors. Take the case of Unity State,
yeah,
in Mayom. Governor Dr. Joseph Mantriel was on it practically, and the governor of Warabs, they were, you know, they went to the scenes and they are engaging our people, and that is why it has halted. Okay, so the government is working. The publicity of condemning things does not solve problems. You know, in Lake State, the government of the state is also working on it. But look at the big picture. Don't just look at the small incident here and there. We have a problem of insecurity all over the country. Our people should also help us to work with us in the implementation of the security sector reforms. And once we have a unified security in this country with capacity to enforce law, many of the things will take care of themselves, including this intra-communal violence. Disarmament, you know, a uniform national disarmament will be conducted. You will have one government everywhere, like what has just happened now. In Jonglei, you used to have IO control areas and the government control areas. You know, in Upper Nile, the same thing. Today, you have one government everywhere in the country. This is an achievement that I told you about. We should build on this thing with the support of our people. People should stop fighting. They should also work with the government to make sure that these things are in places. Like I've just told you about the empowerment of the traditional, you know, authority leadership. If you do that successfully now, most of the cases like this thing you call intra-communal violence, if we do them now without you know, arms in the hand of the youth, and you have traditional authority system in place, most of the cases will not even reach the states, they will be resolved at the county level and at the Fayam level. Let us understand the bigger picture of the problem, is that the war has broken down our institutional structures. It has weakened our institutions, our communities. What is happening in Jongle, in Warraps, in Lakes, in Unity State, in all of these places, is a manifestation of the institutional breakdown. The solution to this is implementation of the agreement.
Now, the way the implementation of the agreement is also progressing, and this subnational violence at the same time taking a precedent over the implementation of the peace process, because it is now diverting more attention from the real implementation of the peace process. If I may link that to the peace process, what is the major challenge or obstacle impeding this peace process?
Well, you know, if you look at the books, the RR case is a very small book. It's a wide little book when you look at it. But the contents of the book is so big. It is an agreement that is supposed to be implemented in 36 months. And it is an agreement of 8 chapters, 27 provisions, 58 sub-provisions. Then you have 110 activities to be carried out in 36 months. It is something I call multi-transitional process. And it's not only one process. They are processes. And these processes need time, resources, and ultimately, patience. People need to be patient. We have done more destruction in this country for good 7 years. It's like heavy rain. It will not just end just in one day, okay? Building things take time. It is a destruction that takes no time.
Is the government taking the patience of the people for granted? Because the people of this country have been more patient than the government think.
No, the government understand. Our people have been very resilient. Our people have very zealous with the hardship they have gone through for good 7 years now. The government is aware of that, and the Artigono cannot take that for granted.
And talking about the challenges, I assume one of the biggest challenges is funding towards this peace process. Is there any way of mobilizing resources towards the implementation of this revitalized peace agreement?
We are working hard to mobilize resources for it. By the way, it is a very huge operation. If you look at the budget of the NTC alone, the budget of implementing the security arrangement, without other things, because this agreement is huge. The book looks small, but it's big in content. It is a long process that takes many other processes, including, you know, drafting of the permanent constitution, writing of the of reviewing of the laws of the of all the institutions that have been picked for reviews. You also must do census, national census, the population census. You know, to draw up constituencies and prepare the people of South Sudan for elections. It is an agreement that was actually drafted to fix the country. Fixing so many problems mean a lot of resources, because you fix problem with resources that we don't have. The world is undergoing financial breakdown. Even our partners abroad, who are supposed to also come in to support us, every country is struggling. South Sudan is also struggling. Our economy has been driven down almost to zero by the war itself. So our economy is in crisis, is actually in shambles now. And our neighbors, you know, the region, the international community, and the continent of Africa are all in the same problem we are in.
Now that the partial lockdown has been lifted, and people expect Artigono to embark on a very serious implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, given the time already we have wasted. According to you as the Minister of Peace, what are some of the major activities within the 8 chapters and the over 100 activities to be carried out within the agreement should be embarked on immediately?
Well, when the Council of Ministers resume, you know, this agreement is implemented by every ministry. So the ministers will start coming to Council of Ministers with their proposal. I've told you that I will go to the Council of Ministers with peace dissemination proposal. My colleague from other ministries in the economic cluster, in the governance and the economics, will also come up with their own thing, you know, implementation, transitional security arrangement, preparations for establishment of the institution of the agreements, and so on and so forth. This will happen during the Council of Ministers meetings when it is in sessions.
As a Minister of Peace, what are some of your recommendations to both the partners who are supporting the peace process and Artigone itself to move forward this peace process?
Well, I will just urge, you know, the expedition of all these processes, so that we have one unified force, one complete government at all levels, and we embark on the implementation of other provisions, including, you know, the constitutional, you know, making process, the census, the infrastructure development, delivery of social services, and we focus on the on resolving issues such as the flood, you know, in part of the country, you know, flood has also been a problem. Other infrastructural issues like roads, it's been problems, lack of accessibility to the countryside. Once you have a government in place, we should embark on those things. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure cluster will do its work. The social service delivery cluster will do its work. We in the government will embark on our programs, and so on and so forth.
What is going to be your last remark to the people of South Sudan listening to you? We know we are approaching rainy season. It has already started raining heavily in some parts of the country, and other parts of the country will very soon begin experiencing heavy rain, and the roads will be inaccessible. Can the people still hope that this peace will bring an everlasting solution to the conflict in this country?
Oh yes, what I want our people to do is to keep hope alive. And they must also understand that this peace process is not a government project alone. It is a people project. They must own the process and help us to implement this agreement so that, you know, peace is restored, hope is restored in the country, and our people are reconciled, and we fix the social fabric of our society for developments and forge a common future for the people of South Sudan.
Honorable Minister, thank you so much for accepting to talk to Redimire and to the people of South Sudan this evening. We appreciate your time. We hope to talk to you some other time. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, Sammy.
And with that, we have come to the end of the first hour of Nationwide. The news will be coming next at the top of the hour. And stay tuned to Redimire. My name is Sani Martin.